all pain syndromes, no matter what your pain is, has some type of underlying autoimmune component to it, meaning that your autoimmune system is on high alert.
Because many times some of the patterns that come up around pain are also transferred to different parts of our life or have been a theme throughout our life.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. It's my pleasure to be back here again. And today I have an amazing guest. Let me get my reading glasses on, folks, because I'm going to read his bio. It's so amazing. I don't want to give it any short shrift here. His name is Dr. Joe Tata, and he teaches you how to retrain your brain and body so you can live with joyful and pain-free life as you deserve. Woohoo! I say to that one, because I know when I was in the first throes of my autoimmune, there was a lot of pain connected. He is a doctor of physical therapy, a nutritionist, a functional pain science expert, and the number one best-selling author of Heal Your Pain Now. He is known for integrating brain science, nutrition, emotions, and movement into easily implemented treatments for lasting pain relief. And his mission is to quickly and compassionately heal your pain and reverse the global pain epidemic. Oh my goodness, what an undertaking, Dr. Joe. Thank you so much for being on the Autoimmune Hour, because I've heard some of your other interviews and I'm just like, I gotta have him on the show.
Thanks, Sharon. It's great being here. Thanks for that great introduction.
Pain is central to many, many autoimmune conditions. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because not only from my own experience in learning how to relieve pain, but I think a lot of people just are told, learn to live with it. And you say, no, no, no. Share with us your belief about pain and how it doesn't have to be a life sentence.
Core belief, and I know this to be true both from practice and working with patients, and of course, everything that I do is based on evidence-based research. Pain does not have to be something that persists. And even if you have an inflammatory condition like an autoimmune disease, there are options and choices and treatments that you can do, that you can empower yourself with, to help heal your pain and help heal your autoimmunity. And in many cases, we can reverse all types of chronic pain almost 100% to the point where there's no pain anymore. Of course, if you struggle with these things for years and years and years and never got the correct treatment, which is common, it's a common thing I see in practice, it can be a little bit harder to treat, but not impossible. So the core message always when I talk to either those who have pain and they've struggled with it for many years and have never found the right resource information, or if I talk to clinicians who are interested in learning about natural ways to heal pain, the core message always is there's a way out of pain. And oftentimes it's like a puzzle. And everyone's puzzle is unique to themselves, to their body, their brain, their mind, and sometimes even their spirituality. And really just finding the correct pieces to your puzzle is what's needed to heal from pain.
Such an important message nowadays. They're finally beginning to offer alternative therapies besides the opioids, which is wonderful to find out, because I've avoided any of those sorts of things when I was in the throes of my pain. And I'm so happy that I did alternative therapies. I've written some questions down here because I want to make sure I've been reading your blogs and your book, and I wanted to make sure I got to them all. Let's get first into this idea of what you call the complex regional pain syndrome. That had me so fascinated because, well, not only was it about oftentimes it affects the immune system, but the complexity of it seemed overwhelming as I was reading about it. And in your article, you say doesn't have to be. So let's share with people this idea of the complex regional pain syndrome.
So complex regional pain syndrome is a pain syndrome. It's actually one of the worst pain syndromes that we can record on record. And it usually happens after a major trauma. And that trauma could be something like a major accident. Oftentimes we see it in someone who's had typically like a fracture or surgery on a particular limb. It happens most frequently in an arm, such as a hand or a forearm, or it happens in the foot or the calf area. Although it can spread to other parts of the body, so parts around your trunk or your head. Complex regional pain syndrome really can show up anywhere, but you typically see it in the extremity first. It happens after the normal healing time of pain and inflammation should end. So with any type of injury, there is a normal inflammatory process that happens. And inflammation is a positive thing when you injure yourself. Inflammation is what heals tissues. It's what repairs a cut. If you have a cut on your knee, it's what repairs your broken bone or a torn muscle. That inflammatory process typically takes about 3 months. For some reason, and we're still learning why, that inflammatory process can kind of go haywire and it can continue beyond that normal healing time. And that really is the definition of chronic pain. The definition of chronic pain is pain that has persisted beyond the normal inflammatory time, which is about 3 months. But with chronic pain, it becomes really, really haywire and all sorts of things happen. Joints and extremities will swell quite dramatically, actually. They'll turn either blue or pink or purple.
Oh my gosh.
Hair can start growing in places where there shouldn't be hair growing, or hair may grow where there was never hair. Of course, pain is a central symptom. And then you can also get some of the more alarming symptoms, and those are things like numbness and tingling and burning.
So is it an autoimmune condition? Because I know that inflammation is one of the critical key components that they say is across all autoimmune conditions. And what's the difference between this type of pain and what I'll say is like maybe the rheumatoid pain or the classic pains that go along with autoimmune conditions?
It's a wonderful question, and it can be somewhat confusing because really, in essence, all pain syndromes, no matter what your pain is, has some type of underlying autoimmune component to it, meaning that your autoimmune system is on high alert. Now, the difference with chronic regional pain syndrome is that when you have something like, let's say, rheumatoid arthritis, you can be tested for specific rheumatoid factors that are linked to that specific disease. We have yet to really find specific factors linked to complex regional pain syndrome. That's oftentimes why it's labeled complex regional pain syndrome, because there are so many different things going on. Both the immune system and the nervous system and the circulatory system are in this kind of like hyper shock state. So we don't have one kind of test for it just yet. It's really based on a clinical diagnosis or a clinical presentation.
Now, as I was reading about it, you had a list of several things that you could do with this complex pain syndrome that seemed to make perfect sense to me, regardless of whether it was you had this diagnosis or you had any sort of typical pain or pain with autoimmune. Can you share with those five tips? I was really impressed by them because oftentimes I think they're overlooked, especially in the what I'll call the Western medicine categories.
Yeah, sure. I can definitely share some tips with you. So complex regional pain syndrome typically responds very well to some type of movement strategy. Now, this is not the kind of thing where you're going to go to a gym and you're going to start an exercise program, because complex regional pain syndrome is very painful. So it has to be an exercise program that's prescribed and guided by a licensed physical therapist. Or if you're in other parts of the world, it's a licensed physiotherapist. And what that physical therapist will do is they will slowly but surely reintegrate or reintroduce you or that part of your body to movement. And as you get reintroduced to movement, and typically that movement is gentle in the beginning, it doesn't cause your pain to increase, it starts to send a signal to the brain and to the nervous system that you can do a little bit of movement. And as you do that, there are changes that happen not only in the nervous system, but also in the immune system, because in your brain, in your central nervous system, there's typically a 2-to-1 relationship between nerve cells and immune cells. So nerve cells and immune cells are working together in a concerted effort to make things happen. When you start to move gently with some basic stretching, some basic exercise, the therapist may do some types of manual therapy techniques. It starts to retrain that brain or retrain the nervous system and the immune system to work more efficiently or to work more properly. when that happens, pain decreases, swelling decreases. Oftentimes fear decreases because you start to feel better. You start to feel more confident. And as you feel more confident, your pain decreases. And really with everything, Sharon, if you want to have pain decrease as fast as possible, the best way to do it is to eliminate fear. As you eliminate fear from your life, pain is going to follow right after it very, very closely.
Read my mind on that one. That was going to be my next question, because I think with autoimmune conditions and even this complex regional pain syndrome, they give you, I'll say they, the sort of Western med, when they diagnose you, give you, feels like a life sentence tattooed on your forehead. And that creates massive fear. And one of my big things as I started to go through the healing process and know that I was going to beat this, getting over myself and getting over the fear, getting over reading Google. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to chime in there that fear is huge. So share, what else is your wisdom about getting over fear, retraining our brain?
So we know where fear comes from. In your brain, there's something called the amygdala. And the amygdala is like an alarm. So I have a red cell phone here. It's like an alarm that is basically in my brain. And when pain persists beyond that 3-month period of time, it's not actually in your body. It's actually in that amygdala in your brain. So your brain is sounding that alarm, sounding that harm alarm, really when it shouldn't. And it's doing that because for some reason, there's something in your life, there's something in your environment, there's something in you as a person that is causing that fear to persist. Now, what you said first, I absolutely love, that as a practitioner, you have to be very sensitive. And you have to be very compassionate when you deliver a diagnosis to someone, like the diagnosis of an autoimmune condition, or like the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, or like the diagnosis of depression, that these are things that patients don't really know how to grasp 100% initially. And oftentimes they're given a diagnosis of, you know, you have this rare, and language is so important here. When we use the words like rare, you have this rare autoimmune condition, and you're going to have to manage it the rest of your life. Well, first of all, rare makes me think, oh my God, do you really know what this is? Because rare means you haven't seen this much. And autoimmune typically goes along with my body's attacking itself. And I always say to people, your body's not attacking itself. It's just a little bit confused. And we're going to teach you the natural ways to heal it properly.
That would have been so wonderful to hear with my first diagnosis, Dr. Joe.
Yeah.
I'm so having a moment of flashback, sorry.
That's okay. And then last but not least, let's look at the lifestyle factors. Let's look at every single thing in your life that's happening. And let's try to figure out why this fear is persisting. And so many times when you're in this hypervigilant state, when you're in this fight or flight state, it causes your immune system to go haywire. So there's so many different things that can cause your immune system to be in that state, hyperactive, to cause an autoimmune flare. And really your thoughts, what you think, your beliefs, what you believe to be true, and oftentimes what you're told, what people tell you, especially what practitioners who are in, you know, white coats. I don't have my white coat on today.
I always call them the white coat authority.
The white coat authority. How they deliver that message to you, whether it's delivered with loving kindness and compassion, or whether it's delivered with, okay, I need to give you a diagnosis and a prescription because I've got 10 other patients behind me. They're really two totally different things. So that's a kind of a long answer maybe to your question, but the take-home message really is the language that persists in your brain, in your mind, in your thoughts, as well as the language that is used to deliver you the types of messages that you're receiving is really, really important when it comes to quieting that harm alarm in your brain.
Oh, I love that, the harm alarm. One of the things that I preach on the autoimmune constantly is it's okay to question the white coat authority. Oftentimes I've had to say, they've told me radical things like surgeries and et cetera. I'm like, that's not going to work for me. Thank you very much. And being able to know yourself enough to go, before I sign up for this, I'm going to do a lot more research, or I'm going to go to people like you, Dr. Joe, and find out alternative ways before I sign up for something radical.
Yeah, and really what you're talking about is what's called the therapeutic relationship between a patient and a practitioner. And that could be your physician, it could be your physical therapist, it could be your nutritionist, it could be, you know, a number of different practitioners. But that felt bond between a patient and a practitioner is proven to be the most important part of a healing experience. It's not the medicine they give you. It's not the hands-on treatment they give you. It's not the nutrition change they give you. It's actually the bond that you have with that person, meaning that I trust this person that they're going to bring me through a process, because you and I both know the process could be 3 months or the process could be 3 years, depending on how severe the condition is. But that fell bond is most important. And a big part of that bond is actually not the treatment. It's the education piece. It's how do I empower you as the patient to take the steps necessary in your life to heal yourself?
Well, absolutely. And that also, the education piece calms the fear piece tremendously. I love that all of your work is this circle. It's not disjointed at all. It seems to flow to me and has a reason for being there. One of the things that you mentioned in your blogs too are about coping strategies. And I found those really important in my healing too, is having coping strategies. And so far we've talked about understanding education. And I'll say with this healing part and your practitioner, I'll say connection, because connection was not just with my practitioners, but other people in my world. Once I educated them, that some of them panicked, like, oh my gosh, this is a life sentence, or I'm going to lose her within a short period of time. Others didn't understand the word autoimmune and freaked out at that. And so, but I think connection is really important as far as beyond the practitioner level, is cultivating a lifestyle of close connections and relationships.
Connection is huge. You know, we're going to move really rapidly in our healthcare system. Right now, we have this kind of one-on-one practitioner-patient interaction. And oftentimes, those interactions are only 5 or 10 minutes. You know, you're lucky if you're seeing a good functional medicine practitioner. The connections are longer than that. We're going to rapidly move toward a population-based health model. And a population-based health model is what I currently use in my practice. It's me running a group. And my group happens to be an online group. It's called Heal Your Pain, Heal Your Life. It's an online program that I take people through a 6-week process. Now, I facilitate that group, so I'm the leader of the group. But as people go through that group, I oftentimes will promote someone, let's say, to the ambassador or to the co-ambassador. And they help people. So, of course, I'm helping. I'm the one who's providing most of the information. But then the people who are entering the group on the beginner phase are being helped and facilitated not only by me, but also the people who are slightly above them. So you have this group dynamic that's going on in my program, and it's a really a wonderful way to help someone, wonderful way to heal more than one person. And it's also a wonderful way to continually reintegrate some of the strategies and the behavioral techniques that people need to change in their life that take time.
Oh, absolutely. And talking about time, I got to take a quick commercial break here, Dr. Joe. We'll be back in just a minute.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Dr. Joe Tata, and he's a chronic pain expert. He's been sharing with us some tips about chronic pain, all the ways to heal your pain, and yes, it is healable. Is that a word? Is healable a word?
Sure, now it is.
And one of the things I love about your idea, before we went to break, you were talking about this connection and having other people, you know, a little bit further down the road, being able to support you and show you, yes, there's a way out of this. I know with autoimmune, something can happen in your life, and then oftentimes the common scenario is something shocking, surprising happens. There'll be a moment of a flare. From back when I had my first flares, they lasted a fairly long time. But now I'm able to say, okay, I know what this is. I know how to deal with it. And I think that's what's so great about your online community is you have people that have been down the road that are able to say, look, I get it. Because one of the things that I get a little irritated with is people telling me things like they understand. And I'm like, you don't understand. How can you understand if you've never been there? So I love that about your online community. One of the things that you talk a lot about is coping strategies. Boy, coping strategies were really important to me. And I've developed a number of them, including things like you often talk about meditation, or I'll call it spiritual practices. It doesn't have to be a religion, of course, but just some sort of practices to calm the mind. So we mentioned movement, we mentioned fear, and talk a little bit about these ideas of stress relief and meditation, spiritual practices.
Yeah, I mean, they're very important. What coping skills are is it means that somewhere inside you, you believe that you have the skills necessary to negotiate this process that you're going to have to go through to heal yourself 100% naturally. Now that could be, okay, I have the ability to do an online search and find the best practitioner, or I have the ability to find a support group like the one I, you know, have online, or I have the ability to start to synthesize, oftentimes this is the biggest one, synthesize the information that is being given to me. So we're talking about a lot of things on this interview today, and people are going to listen to it and they're going to say, oh, okay, I think I'm going to try mindfulness-based stress reduction, which teaches you how to be in the moment, how to be present with your pain. And people say, why would I want to be present with my pain?
That was my question.
And the truth is, there's actually a difference between pain and suffering. Pain is the physical sensation you feel in your body. So the lower back pain you're having or the knee pain you're having. Suffering is the emotional component that you attach to it. Mm. So that's the, okay, if I have really bad knee pain, I'm not going to be able to take care of my children, or I'm not going to be able to go to work and I'm going to suffer an economic downfall, or I'm not going to be able to take care of my mom who's ailing. Because oftentimes many of us who have chronic pain are women, and they're stuck in between younger children and elderly parents, and they're really expected to be the caregivers, but they're trying to care for themselves at the same time caring for the young kids and the older parents. So they're fearful that they're not going to be able to care for other people in their life. So we look at all these different types of aspects when it comes to, obviously, the emotional component around it. And what's interesting about pain is that the definition of pain is that it's a sensory experience as well as an emotional experience. So we look towards alleviating people's anxiety. And that can be something as simple as learning some breathing techniques that you work into your life a couple times a day that self-soothes you, that relaxes you and relaxes your nervous system. And as you relax your nervous system, that tension and tightness releases. You lower your immunity. So your immune response can go down just with some simple breathing exercises or other self-soothing techniques, whatever they might be. Mindfulness is a wonderful way. I teach a very specific type of mindfulness called mindfulness-based pain reduction, which is a form of mindfulness-based stress reduction, but it really focuses more around explaining to people what pain is and how chronic pain is different than acute pain. Because acute pain means you're damaged. It means you hurt a tissue with a fracture or a fall or a sprain or an ankle. But with chronic pain, it relates more back to that nervous system. So there are a lot of different ways to work on the actual experience, the emotional experience of pain.
Yeah, I felt a sense of relief just in your explanation of there's the actual pain and then there's the emotional component, the suffering part. Even that was relaxing for me to know, oh, okay, you know, okay, I can deal with those two. Once I know the two components, it's not one big glob. I somehow in my own mind, I relaxed. I went, I can deal with that then.
Yeah. And one of the most powerful things I teach to patients right away is a mindfulness technique called the body scan. And with the body scan, you move, you close your eyes. It's a mindfulness-based meditation. You move through your body and you bring awareness to all the different parts of your body. So you bring awareness to the side of your head, to your back, to your arms. And as you bring awareness to the different parts of your body, a couple of things happen. One, you realize there's pain there. And as you start to focus on the pain in a way that's non-judgmental, so not, oh my God, what is this pain? Why do I have it? It's going to be the death of me. But you focus, you step outside yourself, and you start to focus on it in a way that's non-judgmental. Oftentimes, you'll see that pain start to evaporate and start to soften and lessen. Conversely, you'll move through your body, and you'll get to, let's say, I don't know, your right thigh, and you'll say, wow, I really can't feel my right thigh at all. I had no idea when my eyes were closed. I have no awareness to where my right thigh is in space. So it starts to re-educate the person about all this is really happening in your mind. So in your mind, Sharon, there's actually a map or a GPS of your entire body. So there's a map of your face, your head, your arm, your neck, your feet. And when you're born, that map is perfect and it's very distinct. As you go through life and you have stress and trauma and pain, that map becomes blurred. So the map should be distinct where your hand should be your hand in your brain. But sometimes that map becomes blurred. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that hand as well, or you don't see that hand as distinct. And through these mindfulness-based treatments, you make that map very distinct and very clear again, and it helps alleviate your pain.
That's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I was part mesmerized there, but it's this whole idea, because I was thinking about, which is a little off topic, but the idea of phantom limb and things like that. It makes perfect sense now. I had wondered about that. And
you're 100% right. So phantom limb has taught us so much about pain. And when we look at people with phantom limb, they have pain in a limb that is no longer there. It's been amputated because of a disease process, or they've lost it, let's say, in an accident. So how can we have pain in a limb that no longer exists? And the answer to that is that that limb, the representation of that limb, still exists somewhere in your brain. And there are many different ways to alleviate that. One of the best ways is something that's, it's called graded motor imaging, where these, again, these are mindfulness-based techniques where we leverage the power of your brain, where we leverage mirror neurons in your brain to start to retrain it. And people have had pain for years and decades, all of a sudden start to see their pain just vanish. And they say, I never knew this was possible. I've only been offered medication, either by prescription, or I've gone to the pharmacy on the corner to get it and try to alleviate my pain, or I've been told I just had to live with it. And people are amazed. And I love talking about this because this is huge in the autoimmune community, because they've been given certain treatments that may be beneficial for a certain period of time through pharmaceuticals. But there are ways to naturally alleviate and reduce your pain.
This is just the science of Sharon for sure. But I do believe that a lot of those pharmaceuticals help. But you can sure do a lot of support otherwise through these mindfulness strategies and other things that we've been talking about. I love the gentle movement techniques and the coping strategies. When we come back from this quick commercial break, we're going to get into nutrition, because Dr. Tata talks a lot about the different food sensitivities can be causing these surprise pains or hidden pains that we wouldn't think about. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And I'm here with Dr. Joe Tata, and he's a chronic pain expert. And if you've been noticing that, I've been absolutely mesmerized because he's been sharing things that, you know, I haven't heard, and I'm starting to make those connections internally about, oh my gosh, okay, this makes starting to make perfect sense. And one of the things I want to be sure and ask him about was this idea of, there's a lot of talk now about gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, food sensitivities, nightshades. And I have to be honest, Dr. Joe, it can be overwhelming. It's like, well, what do I eat? And how do I know if certain foods are causing pain, or at least partially part of the pain?
It can be very overwhelming. I mean, when you go onto the internet and you Google, let's say, nutrition for pain relief, you're going to get a ton of different blog posts and infographics and all these things. So I want to keep it really simple for everyone so I can give people simple take-home strategies. There is an inflammatory component to, of course, autoimmune disease, and oftentimes to many types of different pain states. So pain is multifactorial. So we talked about movement a little bit. We talked about the importance of decreasing the sensitivity of your nervous system. Decreasing inflammation through nutrition is very, very important. The first thing I would love everyone to do is to make sure their diet is a 100% whole foods diet. So what does that mean? That means in our American Western culture, we have a lot of foods that are processed, they're fabricated, they're quote unquote fake. So I tell people that if it comes in a box or can or made by man, it has no place being in your diet. So look for foods that exist in their whole state. So whole grains, whole fruits and vegetables, obviously that you're buying from the produce section, that's not frozen, doesn't come in a can, has nothing added to it. Obviously, meats and fish and chicken and poultry, those are all wonderful things. So if you can work toward a whole foods diet, you can start to decrease that inflammation naturally. And many patients do well just by doing that. So do that for 100 days where you don't eat anything that's processed. There are no additives or preservatives. And I can guarantee you're going to see a shift in your pain at least by 3 pain points. So from, let's say you have an 8 out of 10 down to, let's say, a 5 out of 10.
Although when you said a decrease in the pain, the mom in me said, well, a decrease in my pain, but perhaps my kids would be causing, you know, the sort of that kind of pain. So, well, you know, fruits and veggies.
You know, what's interesting about that is oftentimes moms will say that to me. And it is a little bit of a negotiation process with your kids to kind of, you know, pull the animal crackers away from them. But so many times moms come back to me and they say, you know, I noticed my kids are calmer. And their focus is better. They're less hyperactive. They're sleeping better. So what's interesting about food is when you bring fresh, natural whole foods into your home, you're not only going to heal yourself and you're not going to heal your whole body, but you heal your family. And oftentimes, you know, your whole community, because obviously you're going to take these messages to people in a bigger way.
Well, one thing I loved about when I started doing much more whole foods cooking and things, I had always done it, but really making it a lifestyle, was everybody gets involved in the kitchen. So even my little ones, my little granddaughter, you know, here, wash this. And she loves to play in the water and wash the vegetables at the same time. So it's a great way, besides just healing our body nutritionally, I think, together to bringing that connection that we're always looking for.
Sure, so true. Food is family, and, you know, family is medicine in many ways. So when you can bring people together around a table of natural, healthy food, wonderful things start to happen.
Well, let me ask a quick question, though, because one of the things you said, bring whole foods, try it for 100 days, and you mentioned the grains and the meats and the vegetables and all of that. But you get a little paranoid these days reading about how grains and the gluten-free craze, everybody's going wheat-free, and that's a problem, or dairy-free, or those are all whole foods to me. And then I begin to sort of freak out of, like, okay, what do we get down to if we're taking out legumes or whatever, the whole thing, you're pretty down to maybe a handful of foods. How do we know if we've tried, we're doing the 100 days, is there ways to know, like, maybe I do have a food sensitivity to one thing or another?
Autoimmunity exists on a spectrum, meaning there are people who are just starting out who actually have no symptoms. So you may see things on a blood test, like autoantibodies, but they don't have any symptoms just yet. And those are the people who do really well with a whole foods diet. When you have symptoms and you're having the joint pain, obviously swelling, muscle pain, headaches, brain fog, intestinal symptoms, when you're starting to develop all of those things, which is really where most people will kind of entry into this, then I recommend taking three things out of your diet. And most people can deal with three. And those are a gluten-free diet, a diet that's free from dairy, and a diet that's free from sugar. And I recommend doing that for 30 days. And after the 30 days, to test the gluten and the dairy and see how you do. And the way you test it is you put those foods back in for a day or two and see how you feel. Most people will find, especially if you have an autoimmune disease, especially if you have pain, 90% of my patients are off gluten 100%. They have a natural intolerance or they have an allergy to it, which is a celiac disease. You can be tested for that. And gluten stays out of their diet. Maybe they have, that small piece of birthday cake, once or twice a year at that special event, and they're okay with it. Dairy is interesting because dairy oftentimes overlaps with gluten. The protein in the casing can look similar. So dairy is another thing you have to test on your own. And sugar is the kind of thing that really added sugar should not be in anyone's diet, whether you have an autoimmune disease or not. Now, of course, you can get tested. There are functional medicine tests for food sensitivities, but oftentimes these come back with anywhere between 10 to 40 types of foods that people show sensitivities to. And that's where the alarm comes in, meaning, oh my God, what am I going to eat? I can't eat anything I'm sensitive to beans and chocolate and potatoes and sweet potatoes and jicama. All these weird things come back. So ultimately, I say, test yourself. The power is in your hands. The power is often in your awareness, actually, towards the foods. And that's where you should start.
One of the questions I had about the different foods is, I'd like your take on when you say go gluten-free, but then I look at all the quote-unquote gluten-free products. Those are all processed foods. So when you say go gluten-free, it just stay away from the gluten products and the gluten-free products that are processed, right?
Absolutely. You can still purchase products that are gluten-free and they're high in sugar, or they're non-gluten grain that is still highly processed. And when it's processed, it's really broken down ahead of time and it's stripped of the natural vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients that would come in that whole food. So look, if you're going to have a gluten-free cookie every once in a while, that's fine with me. I'm not going to judge you for that. I have a gluten-free cookie every once in a while too. But most of my diet is going to be a gluten-free grain, let's say like quinoa, that comes in this whole form. And many people do well with that. And people get caught in the gluten-free trap. And they start to look at, okay, now they're having the gluten-free cereal that's processed. They're having gluten-free bread for lunch, and they're having the gluten-free pasta for dinner. And before you know it, they're back on a processed foods diet. It's just a non-gluten processed foods diet, which really doesn't serve them in many ways.
I know, that's what I look at it, because sometimes I read the backs of certain gluten-free products and there's just as many words that I can't pronounce on the back of that product as
well. Yeah, there's still 20 grams of sugar in it, which is causing your insulin level to rise. You're causing your blood sugar to rise. And when blood sugar and insulin rise, your cortisol rises. And cortisol has a tremendous effect on your immune system.
Oh, absolutely. They call it the stress hormone for a reason,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about sugar. I know we just have a few minutes left with you, and thank you so much for being generous with your time here. Sugar is this great big item in my mind, because I was surprised as I started to go sugar-free that I even found it in all sorts of things I never would have expected. Like you said, anything that's processed probably has sugar in it. In fact, one time I was just at a store with a friend, we were reading about a sausage and it had sugar in it. I'm like, why the heck does it have sugar in it? What are some things that we can replace sugar with? Have you got any tips to replace it? Sometimes family life revolves around sugar. At least that my family life revolves around sugar, including the grandma who used to say, have a cookie, you'll feel better.
You know, my biggest replacement for sugar would be natural organic stevia. And organic stevia comes in either a powder form or it comes in a liquid, like a little dropper form. It's very, very, very sweet. So you only need a tiny, tiny little bit. I have a dropper. So if I feel like I need to have something sweet, if I put it in my coffee, I just put one or two little drops in. And what's great about organic stevia is it doesn't raise your blood sugar. So you gain the benefits, you get the sweetness, your taste buds get the sweetness of sugar, but it doesn't raise your blood sugar. That's really my go-to. Another one is monk fruit. I'm not as keen on monk fruit because it does raise blood sugar a little bit, depending on patients. And many people have autoimmune problems, plus they are pre-diabetic, or they're diabetic, or they have blood sugar regulation problems. So you have to be cautious with. The other thing is I recommend that everyone, if they're going to have something sweet, let's say like a piece of fruit, is to have it with some fat or to have it with some protein. And what that does is it slows your body's process. It slows the absorption process of that sugar because what you want to avoid are those spikes.
Right.
And when you have, let's say, my favorite go-to are some blueberries and strawberries with some cream of coconut. So I get the natural fat from the coconut with the natural sugars in the berries. And it's a delicious, delicious dessert. And when you chill those berries, and you chill the coconut cream, it's almost like you're having ice cream. Your brain thinks, okay, I'm going to have a little bit of ice cream, but you're not getting that sugar spike, that sugar rush that accompanies many sweet products.
You know, my favorite one is very similar, but I freeze the berries and then the coconut cream and chia seeds. So I have like a little pudding texture.
Yeah. My other big go-to is I'll take some of that coconut cream and I'll put it in a blender with a very ripe avocado.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I'll actually have that with some sprinkles of dark chocolate. And it's a wonderful, wonderful dessert to have at the end of the day.
Oh, that sounds really good. People are going avocado.
It has that creamy texture like you're looking for with ice cream.
Well, I know we're about out of time with you here. So I do want you to please share with the audience about your book and your programs and your website where they can find out more information.
Yeah, sure. It's been great talking with you today, Sharon. So everyone can learn about me on my website at www.drjoetatta.com. So that's www.drjoetatta.com. My book is called, Of Course, Heal Your Pain Now. You can find it in stores and online, and it's on my website as well. And my program is called Heal Your Pain, Heal Your Life. And you can access all that program, all the information about it on my website as well.
Thank you so much, Dr. Joe, for spending this time with us and unraveling this very misunderstood topic of pain. Thank you so much. We just appreciate you being in our world.
Thank you. Great being here.
We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor, and wasn't Dr. Tata great? And next up, I have Roberta Mittman, and she is the founder and director of the Park Avenue Center for Well-Being in New York City, and a dear, dear friend of mine, and I always like to call my go-to person when I have questions. She's a great conduit between that connection between East and Western medicine. And today I wanted to talk to her about acupuncture for pain relief. With autoimmune, so many of us aren't able to take any sort of painkillers. We might have medications that are contraindicated, or sometimes even organs that shouldn't have any more onslaught by painkillers. And I always worry about addiction with painkillers, all sorts of things. Thank you, Roberta, for being on the show.
Oh, Sharon, thank you for inviting me. It comes to spreading the word about alternative medicine and acupuncture.
Let's talk a little bit about acupuncture, because I know sometimes when I first heard about it, it was scary. What? You're going to do what to me?
I'd be happy to. It's not a fad that comes and goes. Many different styles and different countries and different eras, but it's always been in use and I feel very successful. The interesting thing was that the system is very elegant. Like when you see these figures, the meridians mapped on a figure, there's about 365 of those points, and they all have a specific story around them. So it really takes quite a while to study. I was in school for 4 years because I have a master's, but it's not like a let's learn how to do this over a weekend.
Which is thank goodness. Thank goodness.
I know, it's true.
It's always surprised me with acupuncture because, as you said, the meridians and things like, oh, that's your spleen meridian and it's, needs a little work. And I've always been surprised at how accurate it is. This is it, fix it. And as I walk away afterwards, just completely relaxed. Let's talk a little bit about the needles going into you and then how we can relieve pain.
I love to talk about that because this is a needle phobic society and I don't blame you. I don't like shots either. I always tell my patients, I don't like shots. I don't like shot needles. The good news is that these are so different. They are so thin and so fine, they bend. They are like a hair. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even put them in if I wanted to because they bend. They have a little guide tube and they're just tapped in. Honestly, people fall asleep. It's just so relaxed. I always say that's the best testimonial because I don't think you could be that relaxed and float out of the office if you are uncomfortable. Should know that it's a very different filament than a shot or a transfusion or any kind of a medical needle because it's not hollow for injecting. It's really like a little piece. It's like a hair.
Oh, they are. I've looked at them and although I have to say, when I first saw them, they were a little bit scary. But as you said, I almost always fall asleep on the table. Anyway, let's talk about how does it relieve pain, though? I mean, this idea of putting needles in you, for me, it really creates a fairly long lasting pain relief. And I've always wondered how that happens.
Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question, Sharon, because here is my real 100% honest answer. I don't really, really think that anybody knows. I think it's a mystery. There are so many articles written about all of the possibilities. I think it releases endorphins. It speeds healing to the area. Some people feel it has a different electromagnetic charge each point. There's so many different theories and studies all the time, but I don't think there's anything conclusive to say acupuncture works by blah, blah, blah. My own theory is that it releases a neurotransmitter that quiets down cortisol. It has dopamine and serotonin that calm down cortisol and inflammation. And I think it works like actually as with your whole brain chemistry. That's my personal belief because I see it work in that way. It really depends also on the kind of pain, and it also depends on what the person is coming for. I mean, a headache pain is very different for, like, I can't move my thumb. Those are very different types of pain, but I still like find a lot of success with both types.
I know it has for me. It's done both headaches and body aches as well. The other thing I find interesting about it for me, and tell me if I get kind of energized afterwards.
That's great that you say that. I call it a calm energy.
Yeah, it is.
And I feel that that's the endorphin part that it released a little bit. Some people say, like, I come here to get my natural high.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I love about it. Tell us just a little bit more about what you do, Roberta, in conjunction with acupuncture.
I personally go into mindset and the emotional component that lies behind the pain. For those that are interested in seeking that, a little bit of clarity or information, sometimes our bodies are just fountains of knowledge and holding all of this wonderful information about what's going on. Is somebody's pain simple overuse? Is it stress caused from an argument? Is it something that is a trauma, an accident? But there's so many little pieces of information that your body stores around pain. Once we start to explore that a little bit, I really feel it contributes to the overall healing and healing time significantly.
That's a great explanation, long past that initial pain. And I like how you just described some of the things that can, I'll put into that suffering place instead of the actual physical injury, like you said, like a fall or something. That I love your explanation going deeper into detail about this idea of how the mind can hold that trauma, even if the physical trauma is healed.
Exactly. And I also think that it helps to see certain patterns that we may be having that we're holding in our body. Because many times some of the patterns that come up around pain are also transferred to different parts of our life or have been a theme throughout our life. And sometimes it's here and then it moves there. Or sometimes people, they don't realize it, but they're feeling a little neglected. They need a little TLC. Or sometimes, and I'm not just saying this is like made up. I don't think people are thinking this at all. But sometimes there are certain things, and there's a lot of fear. Like, is this ever going to go away? Am I going to have to live like this forever? That we hear a lot of times, you know? And then it's just kind of realizing that many times when we realize that we are safe and that we are getting a little bit better, even if it's a little bit every day, it just makes such a huge difference in the total healing of that and maybe other things that will come along. We're rewriting the script a little bit, the pain script.
Oh, I love that, rewriting our script. And I'm glad you said that, because I hear this on the Autoimmune Hour. People say, am I ever going to get better? Sharon, you're always talking about being a thriver, not just a survivor. And with Roberta's help, along with other medical professionals, I actually am a thriver. So, oh my goodness.
You are a thriver.
Yeah, we're coming up on my...
Yeah,
we're coming up on the third year of the diagnosis, and you immediately said, Sharon, back off. You know, but people had said to me, they'd labeled me and given me the impression, this is forever. And you, my dear friend, are one that said, Sharon, come back off the ledge. Let's chat. Let's talk about it. So I thank you so much for that. And I know we're just about out of time here, but tell the audience about the Park Avenue Center for Wellbeing. And I know since you're in New York, it's oftentimes for people hard to get to you, but you also this kind of video coaching and work. So share with us your website and what you do.
I'd be happy to. My web address is www.robertamittman.com. That's Roberta, MITTMAN.com. And I have busy office practice, but I also love talking to people on the phone. I can actually work with new people's pain and some of the health coaching and also some of the inflammatory processes and calming them down. I like to say we can throw some water on the fire a little bit and help calm down. And I can do that on the phone or on Skype or like a health coaching. I love doing that as well.
And you're so good at it. I wish we had more time. We're going to have you back on. But thank you for explaining acupuncture and giving us a little description about the difference between East-West and also about the mindset of pain. So everyone, as always, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.